I'll say it, Pastor David.
Say again?
You all set.
Okay. All right. Welcome. Just giving people time to come in. We'll open up with a song, then we'll go on in prayer from there. Worship and Wisdom Wednesdays. Thank you for coming in and participating with Destiny Generation Church and David Johnson Ministries International. As Steve Hart would say, I got a good one for you today. We'll come back, and if you don't know the song, that my bride, Lady Nedra, will sing the words in a later session. The song says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Then it goes on to say, "He has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless his holy name." All right? Thank you. His holy name. Hallelujah. Alrighty. Let's get ready for our time of sharing. As we do that, I'm going to open up a prayer. Father, we do say thank you. We do bless your name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless your holy name. Bless you, Lord, and forget not all of your benefits. Who heal all our diseases, who forgives all of our iniquities, who grants us with your loving kindness and your tender mercies, who causes our youth to be renewed like the eagles. And so we are here to worship you, Lord, as we lift up our hearts and our heads and our thoughts from the hustle and bustle of the day to kind of hear what you have from heaven. We open ourselves also to your wisdom as well. We thank you and praise you for this time that we have together. And we ask that you would speak to us from the volume of your book in Jesus' name. Now say this with me. Heavenly Father, your word says, if I lack wisdom, I should ask you in faith without wavering, and that you would give it liberally without fault finding. I ask now for that wisdom, and I believe that I receive it. And I say with my Lord Jesus that I must be about my Father's business. Thank you for giving me your insight into my kingdom success. In Jesus' name, I pray expecting, amen. Now say this with me. I am a believer of the word of God. I am an epistle of the Spirit of God. I am a disciple of the Son of God. I am a finder of the destiny path of God for my life. All right. Let me start to share. Put us in the mode to share. Again, we are thanking God for our worship and wisdom Wednesdays. Again, for those of you that are either on Zoom or following us on Facebook and YouTube, we're so grateful that you're here. This is our time together. We keep it tight and crisp, 7 to 8 o'clock. Give you a little bit of worship and some wisdom on this Wednesday that we are praying that is a blessing to your life as well. Please, again, whether you follow me through David Johnson Ministries International is what you see on Facebook, or Destiny Generation Church, which is the way it looks on YouTube, and Instagram is David Johnson Ministries as well. Please take some time to follow me in these places. And also, wherever you get podcasts, we're there with the audio of this broadcast. We're going to keep that going on, and we're going to keep growing and growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we have been on a teaching, and this is actually part 5 of our series on Power Principles from the Book of Proverbs, the Vitality of Vision. Right now, I think I got 2 more sessions, and I think we're going to close out on this part of the Power Principles in 7 parts on the Vitality of Vision. So I think I got 2 more weeks in me on that, just so that you know. So in terms of review, Proverbs 29:18 has been our core scripture in the King David Version. Yeah, that's me. Where there is no collective vision of a preferred future, self-control in the present becomes difficult. But the person who makes daily decisions in line with their desired destiny shall achieve happiness and success. So previously, we spent time talking about the relationship of the visionary, the vision, and the committed people. We've also talked about the importance of unity, collective confession, and joint imagination. And this past week 4, we talked about the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the practice and pattern of faith confessions, and the willingness to start small with excellence, trusting the law of process. I also gave you some definitions, some acrostic definitions that I hadn't had before, and I realized that I was holding out some key things that helps me and stimulates me. Dream, we said, is a desire, reality, energizing, accurate movement. Vision is vivid imagery, sustaining, inspired operations necessary for destiny fulfillment. There is always a picture of a desire, reality, or vivid imagery, but it has to for it to go into the biblical definition from Proverbs 29, it has to inspire you to move in a certain way to cause that thing to come to pass. And then we've talked about the process that I summarize as the process of re-envisioning as the process and method by which the preferred picture of prophetic, the preferred picture of a prophetic future is purposefully examined, meditated, and integrated for the purpose of motivating proper actions for its fulfillment. Like you actually, the process of envisioning and re-envisioning, I call it write, read, run, repeat, that there has to be this repetitive process of how you look over the vision in a way that stimulates you. And you're going to see someone who was masterful in that process today. We gave you 8 principles, and I'm just summarizing a few of them. Recognize that human power, whether the power of one or many, is not sufficient to win. Understand the necessity of being a person born of, filled with, guided by, and empowered by the Holy Spirit to fulfill vision. And that was unique things, because there are visionaries in the world, but because we are looking for worship and wisdom, we're trying to receive a divine empowerment to do what we do. And if that's the case, then the personhood of the Holy Spirit is the person of the Godhead that is the agent that is designed to connect you with heaven's visions and dreams. And we talked about that last week. Realize that it is by the exercise of faith that you connect to God's grace. Grace is the quarterback, faith is the receiver. Then we also challenge you that to understand that the Holy Spirit manifests himself and small starts done with diligent detail, that the eyes of the Lord, which is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, actually sees somebody who has a loyal heart towards him, and they're dedicating to start something big that they can't do on by themselves, but they're not doing it by themselves because God's with them, but they're doing it with diligence. They're doing it with excellence. They're bringing to it the best amount of organization and skill that they can, trusting that in the midst of the process, God's going to put his super on their natural, and that he manifests himself when you start small, but you start with diligence and with excellence. Then we say that the law of process says I should expect a small start, serious situations, supernatural solutions, incremental increase, and an overwhelming outcome. You should trust the process, and you should make sure that the process itself can trust you, that you'll stay with it until it yields the desired result. So today, we're going to look at the perspective of a vision from one of the great visionaries of scriptures, the Apostle Paul, from his supernatural conversion, which was a supernatural visionary type experience, where he was given a spiritual manifestation of vision, to the end of his life, where he said, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith, that the crown is waiting for me because I did what God created me to do. He single-handedly affected the Christian faith in major ways, both in his direct ministry in terms of evangelizing a lot of that Near Eastern area, and through the letters that he wrote that have been incorporated into the canon of scripture and has blessed the church throughout the ages. And so all of us are the better than because of this man and his visionary pursuit. So let's look at a passage of scripture that describes how the vision he received from God motivated him throughout his life. So scripture we're going to read is Philippians chapter 3. We're going to read verses 4 through 17. We're reading it in the New King James Version, and we're going to especially focus on verses 12 through 14. So we're going to read 4 through 17, but we're going to key in and have some special emphasis on verses 12 through 14, because they talk about a certain aspect of vision and his being and Paul's being a visionary that I want to highlight to you today. And it says, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else think he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. And remember, we said verses 12 through 14 are as our special emphasis verses. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. The word lay hold, King James, it says, so that I may apprehend that for which I have been apprehended of the Lord. Christ grabbed me so that I can grab something for him. And he says, what he apprehended me for, verse 13, behold, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I haven't grabbed everything that he grabbed a hold of me to grab hold for him. But one thing I have grabbed hold of, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Goal here, I'm going to use, and I'm going to say, I press towards visionary fulfillment. The goal, the purpose of that is the fulfillment of vision. In the Weymouth translation, verse 14 says, with my eyes fixed on the goal, I push on to secure the prize of God's heavenward call in Christ Jesus. Notice there is a goal, which is vision, fulfillment. There is a prize that goes with achieving the goal. There's always a reward for achievement of goals or fulfillment of vision. And there is some pressure, there is some pressing that has to happen for you to actually get to the goal and receive the prize. In the easy reading version of the Bible, it says, verse 14 says, I keep running hard towards the finish line. The goal there is described as a finish line to get the prize that is mine because God has called me through Christ Jesus to life up there in heaven. In the Passion Translation, it says, I run straight for, that's the description of the press, the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus. Amen, amen. Verse 15, therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. All right. So, 8 principles of visionary leadership from the life of the Apostle Paul. Number one, visionary leadership is built on a life of assignment and purpose. There has to be something bigger than you that moves you. Paul recognized that Jesus Christ had laid hold on him, but for what reason? So that Paul could lay hold on something for Jesus Christ. Do you see that? In verse 12, it said it this way. It says that I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold on me. We'll get back to next week and review his initial visionary encounter, or his testimony of his visionary encounter, because actually the testimony has the same thing, but it has some details about it as a vision and how that vision motivated him. So we'll talk about that in our next session. The Apostle Paul states that the only thing he held on to was his ability to let things go so that he could apprehend the reason he was apprehended of the Lord. Listen, the one thing you want to hold on to is your ability to let go of anything that would hinder you from fulfilling the vision that God has set for your life. Well, Pastor David, I don't know about my assignment and purpose. Well, one of the things I'm going to encourage you is to get involved with your local church and participate in the vision of someone else and in the fulfillment, helping another leader fulfill vision. Sometimes God opens up to you your own vision. And I promise, and after we finish out our 2 sessions on this, my next series will talk to you about understanding more about your assignment and purpose. All right. Number 2, recognize the critical term in either self-confidence or self-consciousness is the word self. Because our righteousness is based on the finished work of Jesus, we should not feel superior to anyone, nor should we feel inferior to anyone. We shouldn't have an overinflated ego or an underinflated self-worth, right? Because self-consciousness or self-confidence all roots in self. Paul said, if there's anybody who had reason to have self-confidence, he had more. And then he laid out all the reasons when looking at his flesh, when looking at his natural achievements in the sphere of religious achievement, that he could have confidence in who he was as a person who was tied into the covenant that God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and the nation of Israel. All right. And so he talked about being a Pharisee of the Pharisees, circumcised on the 8th day, the tribe of Benjamin, stock of Israel, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, Pharisees, which is a very strict, very legalistic, strict adherence to the rules. So he was, we would say, I'm not new to this, I'm true to this. He was true to his faith and he committed everything he had to it. So that's the self-confidence picture. But what about the self-consciousness picture? So sometimes Paul talked about all of the stuff he did right. Then other time he talked about all of the stuff that he did wrong. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. And it says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Now, this is all the stuff he did wrong. I was a blasphemer. I was calling myself blessing God, but I was cursing God and cursing people. I was a persecutor. I was hunting down Christians. I was an insolent man. I was violent. I was a Hebrew with an attitude. He was HWA. Okay, I'm just saying. He had an attitude. And listen, as quiet as it's kept, I know there's some people that'll talk about, anti-Semitism. But if you go to Israel, outside of this war situation, and I don't want to speak into that because that's not really my point. But if you go there talking Jesus, now some of them people got that same Paul attitude and they're going to give it to you. And there's some videos out there of Christians making pilgrimage and Orthodox Jewish people being not the nicest people to them. I'm just saying, okay? That spirit was on Paul. My only point to that was Paul had that thing that is there now started with Paul. Because he was that first generation of people that was pushing back against the message of Jesus Christ. All right. Verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundantly with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, right? One side, I have confidence. On this side, I'm the chief sinner. Verse 16, however, for this reason, I obtain mercy that in me first, Jesus Christ might show all long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Listen, what he's saying is, if God can save me, he can save anybody, but he not only saved me, but he saved me and put me into service to help other people get saved so that my example, both of what I have done, what I had done wrong, and even what I gave up of what I had done right, that all of that was being used to serve as a pattern for those who would follow his example into receiving eternal life, and how God is patient with all of us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I need that. He's patient with all of us as we work out our own salvation and fulfill our assignment and our part of visionary leadership potential. So our key point is that self-confidence in terms of what you did right or self-consciousness, what you did wrong, neither of those cancels you from fulfilling the assignment of God. All of those are focused on self. And in this area of vision, we want to get our eyes off of self and get our eyes onto Jesus Christ, who calls us in our sphere of leadership to fulfill our visionary potential. Neither your accidents nor your accomplishments should prevent you from fulfilling the God kind of life. At some point, you have to trade all of who you are for all of who he wants you to be. Paul said, everything in me that I considered gain, I counted as loss in order to gain the excellence that is Christ. If you remember the story of the rich young ruler, the problem was not that he had wealth. The problem, a lot of people that teach that the problem with the rich young ruler is that he had wealth. No, he not only was that not the problem, the way he got it made the wealth good to God. up to that point, he had lived what I call lifestyles of the rich and faithful. He said, hey, you know, how can I obtain eternal life? That's what he asked Jesus. Jesus said, keep the commandments. He said, these commandments I had kept from my youth up. It's clear that he wasn't lying to Jesus. He had kept the commandments. And under the Abrahamic covenant, if you keep these commandments, blessings would overtake you. Those blessings overtook him at a young age. Therefore, he was a wealthy young person. So he had principle-based success. The challenge he had was that when Jesus asked him to trade everything he had acquired, his self-confidence, to that point, and trade it up to the future that God has for him, he wasn't willing to let go of what he had to become who God wanted him to be. I'm convinced this was, and the Gospels, if you go back and study all of the accounts of the rich young ruler, the scripture bears it out, that he was the one that God intended to replace Judas, and that he would have been one of the 12 apostles. And then when Judas went out, he would have just fell in the seats, and we wouldn't have to draw straws from Matthias in the book of Acts. I'm just saying, he was the person. And if you're going to replace a stealing treasurer, you would replace him with somebody who had stole from his childhood. I'm just saying. But he missed out on the opportunity because he wasn't willing to trade up for the vision that God has for him. And sometimes you got to be willing to take everything you've accomplished and put all of the chips in the middle of the table. And the Apostle Peter said, Lord, what you told him to do, we did. And God promised him in this lifetime 100-fold, and in the life to come, eternal life. So I'm just saying, the problem with the rich young ruler is not that he had, it's that he wasn't willing to trade into what God had for him, right? So, number three of our eight principles of visionary leadership. It's not about your resume or your rap sheet. It's not about everything you did right or everything you did wrong, but it's about right position with God through relationship and righteous pursuit based on resurrection power. I love to think about Moses. According to Deacon Stephen in Acts chapter 7, in his final message before he was stoned, Moses was a man mighty in word and deed. You see that in Acts chapter 7, verse 22. That was the early part of his life when he grew up in the palace. When he went out in the strength of his own ability, He was not only an abject failure in the purpose he knew that he had gotten, he received from God to be a deliverer, but he also became a murderer and a fugitive. By the time God came for him, he had spent 40 years on the backside of the desert, and that man who was mighty in words and deeds was gone. Left in its place was a man who stammered, who did the lowly job of being a shepherd, which was an abomination to the Egyptians, according to Genesis chapter 46, verse 34. But it was right at this moment that Moses could relate to God properly and pursue the vision of God's deliverance, a vision of deliverance of God's people with God's empowerment. Like, he still had to paint this picture of a land flowing with milk and honey. God's taking him out of slavery into this land flowing with milk and honey. And then God said to Moses, what's in your hand? I got the stick, stretch it out. And then the Lord told him, when you stretch out your hand, I'm going to stretch out my hand over Egypt. See, there's always that part where you have to take what he's given you, believing that when you stretch out, he's stretching out on top of what you're stretching out, right? There's always that moment of faith. Same is true for you and me. If your vision came from God, it's not what you've done right or wrong that either qualifies you or disqualifies you. It's your connection to him and his resurrection power flowing through you that enables you to fulfill his call on your life. Hallelujah. Okay. Number four, recognize that a life of visionary leadership is simultaneously a life of pain and power. It is simultaneously a life of pain and power. Paul said his goal was to know him, Christ, Jesus Christ, in the fellowship of his sufferings and in the power of his resurrection. So there was both pain and power, okay? The pain and power are not defects. Nothing's wrong if you're fulfilling vision and some parts of it are painful. Both are part of vision design. Further, we go through both believing for the ultimate power, the eternal life of resurrection from the dead. Like, the visionary leaders in scripture all had a sense of this power of resurrection. Job said, if my flesh is decayed in a grave and the worms eat up my flesh, in my body, I'm still going to see God. Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac on an altar, believing that God would raise him from the dead. There was always this sense of the resurrection power of God. Now, we've just come out of the season of resurrection when Satan is a liar, a thief, and a murderer. But death is his greatest weapon. But when he throws his greatest weapon, resurrection power is God's trump card. It's the thing that Satan has no answer for. So you have to know that that ultimately I am giving my life to a vision that God gave me because I believe he's going to give an eternity to me. All right. So what keeps us going? We believe in a life after this one, and what we lay our life to achieve, what we lay our life down to achieve, will be worth the sacrifice. You have to be willing to live in the tension. That is where you will see and experience the Lord in all of his glory. I have to live in the tension of pain and power. I've got to be willing to know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. I've got to be willing to deal with the part of me that dies so that I can experience the part of me that gets resurrected to eternal life. All right. Number five, understand that visionary leadership is life, liberty, and the pursuit. Life, liberty, and the pursuit. You must recognize, first of all, that you are alive in Christ, that his heavenly power lives on the inside of you. Further, in the midst of everything that pulls at you, you have liberty. You have freedom to choose what thing you pursue and what things you will purposefully ignore. Sometimes people, ever had somebody say, man, if I was you, I wouldn't do that, but you're not me. And it's not that you're not open to counsel. We're going to have a power principle in the book of Proverbs on the criticality of counsel. And I take all kinds of input. But I also qualify the people that counsel me, because the scripture says I shouldn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Some people aren't qualified to give me counsel, even though they're saved, because I look at their life experience and it doesn't qualify it for them to speak on what God's telling me to do. And even if they have qualified experience and can give me counsel, I'm still responsible to walk out the vision that God gave me. And sometimes you can't trust other people to see what God showed you, because they weren't there when God showed it to you. And so you have to take the life you have and be willing to walk in the liberty that God gave you to pursue what he created you to pursue, even when other people don't understand it, when they misunderstand you, what other people think, say, or do can't influence you to the point that they get you off of your heavenly vision that God has for you. You have to be willing to walk away from people, to walk into the thing that God created you to do. That's life, That's liberty, and that is your single personal pursuit. And you just got to know when you just got to keep it moving. Sometimes you just got to shake the dust off of you and keep going. I've had to walk away from people. I've had people misunderstand me, and I love all of them. But I had to do what the Lord told me to do, because nobody will stand before Jesus for you when all your family, when everybody misunderstands you. You still got to do what the Lord tells you to do, because you're the person who has to stand in front of him and hear those two words, well done. So you have to be able to walk away from anything and everything, from everyone, to walk into the thing that God called you to do. And if you can't do that, then you will never fulfill the vision that God has for your life. Right? Paul said, first of all, he understood that Christ had apprehended him so that he could apprehend something for God. Then Paul said the one thing he held on was his ability to let go of every other thing so that he could pursue the one thing Christ wanted him to pursue for Christ's sake. Right? So you got to grasp hold of that. Now, that's really important. Pastor Dave, why are you passionate about this? Because listen, this is the stuff that keeps people from walking in vision. And this is what we get from Paul's life. Like, listen, the Pharisees who loved him, hated him afterward. The people who, the high priest that was clapping for him on one side, was stoning him on the next. The Romans, he was a Roman centurion, a Roman citizen, not a centurion. He was a Roman citizen, and they were beating him, and he had to appeal to Caesar, and he had to deal with all of these people. He had to deal with church people who, because of his past, didn't trust him, but he had to get rid of all of it, let it all go, and keep moving with God to fulfill the assignment on his life. And listen, you just have to get past other people's opinions and do what the Lord's telling you to do. Number six, visionary leadership is action and activity to apprehend your assignment to receive awards. Let me say that again. Visionary leadership is action and activity to apprehend your assignment to receive awards, okay? I press toward the goal for the prize. I press, that's activity and action. Towards the goal, that's to apprehend your assignment for the prize, to receive the awards. That is a complete, in a statement, that verse, Philippians 3:14, is a complete picture of visionary pursuit. In the days where your pursuit is more pain than power, it is the picture of the prize that keeps you in pursuit. Some Christians believe you shouldn't be motivated by rewards. God wouldn't tell you about heaven and hell if he didn't want you to be moved towards pleasure and away from pain, right? David said, I'll face Goliath, but what will be done for the man who slays Goliath? Man, David, your house, you'll become a prince by marriage. You'll marry the king's daughter. Your father's house will be a tax-free empowerment zone. You won't have to pay taxes. Your family's house, your father's house, all your family will be tax-free because you fight this one fight. Listen, God wants you to be goal-oriented and move towards the thing. Those are the things that's supposed to keep you going in the difficult times, right? So, in the days where your pursuit is more pain than power, it is the picture of the prize that keeps you in pursuit. If you lose the activity, the assignment, or the awards, your visionary pursuit will fall off. If you lose the activity, if you lose the picture of the assignment or the goal, the prize, the mark, or if you lose the picture of the awards, your visionary pursuit will fall off. In fact, during the difficulty of Jesus' passion, it was the picture of the prize of his award that kept him going as well. Let's look at it. Hebrews 12:1-3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Right? That's the picture of the pursuit. It's an endurance race. It's a race, but it's a course, but it has obstacles on it. It's an obstacle course. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, that was the picture he had in front of him, endured the cross, he was going through pain, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That was the prize at the end. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. It was the joy in front of Jesus, the vision of countless humanity saved and redeemed, that kept him going and enduring the difficult parts of his assignment. You need your picture to stay fresh and current also. To minimize what you're going through, you must maximize what you're going to. To minimize what you're going through, that's what it means, despising the shame. He thought very little of the pain he was going through, because he maximized what he was going to, the joy that was set in front of him. To minimize what you're going through, you must maximize what you're going to. All right. Number 7. Paul calls this perspective of visionary leadership, he called it spiritual maturity. Let as many as are spiritually mature have the mind that I have, all right? Spiritual maturity is being able to let go of anything that would hold you back, even your past wins, your past failures, your past missteps, to obtain the future that God has for you. It is recognizing that both pain and power are part and parcel of your divine assignment. It is recognizing that being found in God is the sum and total of success, that what he has for you to do must be done in his power. It is in recognizing that you must press because you see an invisible goal, and that the prize you will receive for its achievement. And finally, number 8. Paul encourages us to adopt and adapt his perspective on visionary leadership. And he prays that God will show us anywhere in our lives where we come short of it. Paul recognized on several occasions that God had raised him up as a pattern and example of life that others should emulate. I showed you that in Philippians chapter 3. I also showed you that in 1 Timothy chapter 1, that in both of those things, he said his life was to be marked as a pattern and example of how a person can dedicate, completely sell out and dedicate themselves to fulfilling the vision that God had put on their lives. And he wanted his life to be a pattern that we would emulate. It was Paul's sincerest intention to create a culture and a community of visionary leadership. He recognized that as powerful as his life was, it wasn't enough itself to fulfill the entire purpose of God. God needs all of us to grab hold of something for him. Further, to the degree that you've made progress by walking and running towards vision, make sure that you hold the ground you've taken. Don't run towards vision and be successful and then later cast off restraint. You have to keep something out in front of you. So, because sometimes your milestone can become a millstone if you let it slow you down instead of letting it propel you forward. In other words, don't get so far and then back off of the thing that got you there. If you think about David and his experience with Bathsheba, that's what happened. At the time when kings go forth to war, he decided he could take his foot off the gas pedal. All right. One day that won't for all of my engineers, one day it won't have the same effect, since you will still accelerate, but you won't be putting gas in cars. I'm not looking forward to that, but that's a story for a different day. But that thing that got you to vision, make sure that you not only that you take ground for the remainder of your life, that you never let go of your visionary leadership. All right. So that's the pieces that I have for you today. Next week, I'm going to talk to you about divine visions and dreams, where God initiates visions and dreams. Sometimes people have visions that they have for their life, and they're human-inspired visions and dreams, but now we're shifting to, you know, last week we talked about the Holy Spirit and his empowerment for vision. This week we talked about the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Next week we're going to talk about receiving divine information and direction in the area of divine visions and dreams and what that looks like. Amen? So I pray this was a blessing to you. I think I'm pretty much out of time. Joshua, did you have anything for me? Any notes or anything?
No, so we got a few amens, got a few thumbs up and a couple hearts. So to let you know you're getting some good feedback.
Okay, good deal. Yes, okay, appreciate that. All right, listen, please partner with us. Part of this for me is a chance for me to work to build community around our ministry at David Johnson Ministries International and Destiny Generation Church. If you go out to the Givelify app in your app store on your smartphone, you'll find Destiny Generation Church. If you put that in, you'll see my smiling face, and you'll get a chance to give and partner with us. And so I'm just encouraging you that opportunity is available to you. And we really are looking to see where our favor is with folks that would connect with us and partner with us in ministry, because we have great visions and great plans, but we're starting small with the excellence that we have, believing that those of like mind will come alongside us. Remember, I do have a book, Unlocking the Heavens Through Thanksgiving. If you reach out to us, inbox us in our social media, we'll tell you how to, we can send a copy of that to you. And for all of you Kindle folks, I am on Kindle. In Jesus' name, Unlocking the Heavens Through Thanksgiving, David E. Johnson, and you'll find me there as well. All right? I think those are my things. Please, for those in the greater Flint area, I'm with my friend, Pastor Ryan Glesman at the Community Church of God of Clio, Michigan, and we'll be there this Sunday at 10:30. I got a special message on partnership principles that I want to share with that congregation. And if you want to see me and you're in the area, I would love for you to fellowship with us. We'll be there at 10:30 Sunday morning. Great word for you. I promise you that you'll be blessed. All right, let's close out in prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, we say thank you. We thank you for just a time where we can share with your people, that we can share the truth from the Word of God that you have shared with us. We thank you for the life and the pattern of the Apostle Paul, one of the great patriarchs of the faith. What a man, what a visionary. What an example of a life of both good and bad and even ugly, but a person who in the end fulfilled the assignment that you placed on his life. I pray that as we worship you, as you have given us wisdom from his life today, that you would empower all those that are connected with us now or that will watch this broadcast, podcast in the future, that you would bless them to glean principles that they could adopt and adapt in their own visionary pursuit, that you would stir up the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in them, that they would come to know you and to fulfill the assignment, to take the pain and the pleasure, to take the pain and the power that's available to them, that they would press towards the mark to obtain the prize of the heavenly call of God on their life, that they would walk in the maturity to be thus minded, to let go of both their resume and their rap sheet, to let go of anything, any self-confidence or self-consciousness that would prevent them from walking in your true resurrection power. And ultimately, as they come to their life at its end, and as they spent their life in the fulfillment of purpose, that at the end that they will receive you in eternal life and hear those great words, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord." We thank you for it now. We pray for a blessing on our ministry this weekend, and pray in advance for those that will participate with us in our next week's session. We bless you now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. God bless you.